night. Good evening. As I was, so if I'm in the way, here's a good idea. I'm not in anybody's way, am I? Hopefully you can all see it. Anyway, as I was praying about what I was going to talk about, the idea of unity kept coming to mind, particularly unity in light of eternity. I guess it was 2 years ago that the theme here at the chapel was the one another commands. Is that right? 2 years ago? Something like that. And then last year, the life group studied James. And this year, we're studying 1 Corinthians. And to me, all of the subject matter of those passages and books, when we pursue those things and we do those commands, we are building unity in the church. It does a lot of things, but one thing that ties them together for me is it increases the unity among believers. And so I thought that now would be a good time for me to talk about this, because I really think that now more than maybe ever, since growing up here, I am very encouraged and thankful for the level of unity that I believe we're experiencing here at Shannon Hills. And I am seeing firsthand some of the benefits of that unity, and in looking at Scripture, have seen those things confirmed. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, and we'll get to the In Light of Eternity part a little bit later on. But I wanted to read a few passages. They're up there on the screen. I'll be going through them quickly. It'll probably be too fast for you to turn through. But if you want to open to one, maybe Romans 12. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Psalm 113, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. 1 Peter 3, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 4, maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then there are two longer passages, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, that compare a human physical body that has many different parts, many different members, compares that with the body in Christ, the church, the body of Christ, the church, those that follow Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Very similarly, in 1 Corinthians 12, compares the physical body with the body of Christ. For just as the physical body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And then finally, Ephesians 4, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what I got generally from those things are that we are one body in Christ Jesus. We are each a member of that body. We are united in the Spirit. And if we are functioning correctly, then we are building each other up in love. So in this picture of the body having different members that have different functions, it's clear that every believer, every true believer, has an important role in the body of Christ. I think that's regardless of age, gender, class, race, denomination, regardless of what it is, if you are a true believer, you have an important part in the body of Christ. And we have different roles. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to participate. We're going to list a few things in the Bible, some different roles of the members of the body. So what are some biblical functions of a member of the body of Christ? Just yell them out. Teachers, yes. Any others? What do you say?
Givers.
Givers, yes. Ministers. Encouragement, yes.
Mercy.
Servants. You're doing a great job. That's good. And then all the other ones that are continuing to come to your mind, think on those as well. All right, I need a volunteer that feels like they can grab something quickly, like you got good hand motions, hand movements. Mr. Scott, come on up here, please. All right, I've got a little illustration. This is not a magic trick, so don't think that. Okay, I have a $20 bill. I'm going to crumble it up into a ball so it's easier to grab. I'm sorry if you can't see it, but here, let's... All right, I'm going to set this here on this towel so we don't hurt ourselves. All right, I want you to take your hand and put it right over it, a few inches above. See, he's not quite that close. Here, so you scoot this way. They're just not going to be able to see. Okay, he's pretty close. I'm going to have my hand right here. You're too close. Start going down. So I have my hand right here. As soon as you see my hand move, you can go ahead and grab it. If you get it, you can keep it. Does that make sense? Okay, so you probably either want to watch my hand or the dollar. You ready? No! I was scared that was going to happen. Let's try it again.
I knew better than to watch your hand because I wouldn't react as fast.
He's too fat. Well, what are you watching?
I was just looking at you. My peripheral vision helps me.
Okay, well, let me try again. Go right over it. There you go. Okay, I got it now. Ready?
You got it.
I got it. Oh, let me try one more time. So it's best 2 out of 3. Yeah. For the sake of the illustration, ready? All right, there we go. See, there we go. Okay, thank you, Mr. Scott. You did too good.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You're good. Here, you can have it.
No, sir.
No, you got it. We'll talk about it after. Anyway, what was supposed to happen and what happened the second two times is, oh, this is good. Okay, the members of his body were working together very well. Better than the average person. So you would think that the signal from the eyes to the brain, then to the hand, would work very well together. But most people can't think of it quick enough to move. And anyway. So anyway, that is an example of the body parts not functioning together correctly. So when a part of the body does not function, if it doesn't do its part, there are consequences. And this is the same as the body of Christ. If one member of the body of Christ isn't functioning the way that they were supposed to function, then our message and our presentation is ineffective. There's division. Our functioning as the church is hindered. And we are not reaching the potential of what could be if that member was functioning the way that they were supposed to function. But our bodies normally, and Mr. Scott's body works very well together. So if we can imagine what would practically happen if every member of the body of Christ, and you can think of this like our local church, as well as the entire body of Christ, the church in the whole world, if every member of the church was in perfect unity with one another. And you just think about all that would be happening, all that wouldn't be happening. Think everyone would feel a part of the work. Everyone would feel that they could use their gifts without fear of discouragement or anything like that. Those that don't yet believe, I think, would see our love and our unity and desire that. In John 17, which is when Jesus is praying, he begins praying at this part of of his prayer. He has begun praying for those that would eventually believe through the gospel, which includes us. And he's praying to God that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. And then it goes on in verse 23 to say, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. So he's praying for unity in the church for the reason that the world might know that God sent Jesus to us and that he loved us as he loved Jesus. He loved us enough to send Jesus to come die for us. And one more thing about that is that the positive outcomes of increasing unity, I think, is a multiplicative growth in that if I become more unified with those that I'm connected with, they will hopefully in turn become more unified with those around them, and it will grow like discipleship expands in a multiplying type of way. I think that is how this would work as well. So now that we've thought about how the church could be if it was in perfect unity, we can think about our individual roles and our individual functions, what we can do. And this is really the reason why it came to my mind so much when I was thinking about what I wanted to speak on, is that there are so many people in this room that I have very specific positive thoughts and memories about how you have encouraged me or taught me or challenged me and why I look up to you. And I started writing down a very long list, and this doesn't include everything, and I keep adding to it because there are so many things that many of you do that are so encouraging to me, and I feel like really unify the body. Here are a list of many: those that serve on the ladies' committee, the men that pull the weeds, those that fill the juice and the wine and get the bread ready for the Lord's Supper, those that serve in Sunday school or youth group, that do the bulletins, that straighten books, that do the sound, that host Bible studies, that are part of a Bible study or a life group, those that support Mountaintop or Camp Jubilee, things like that, those that support missionaries or children in need, the deacons, musicians, those that are just encouraging to people around them, those that welcome visitors, that make sure that sound doctrine is being taught, those that pray for me and others, those that say kind words or just a joy to be around, those that lend people cars when theirs breaks down, those that feed the homeless, those that share what they've learned with others, those that give gifts, those that help in the van ministry, and I'm sure you could go on with the ways that different people in the church have unified us together. And one of you in particular, while I was growing up, prayed often for the young people and thanked God for us, and that was very encouraging to me growing up, and I think played a big part in being excited to serve here and stay here, and I think that it was a big deal. And since taking over the music ministry and changing how the music was done, I have been super encouraged by the support and encouragement, and to know that so many people have been praying for it, even though it might not be your preference, is really, really special to me, and I think is a really great unifying thing, and I appreciate your prayers and encouragement and all of that stuff. So I think that, okay, we're good. I think that there are so many things that can be done for the church, and it's not just the things that people can see, which is most of what I explained, or which is most of what I listed. But there are also so many things that are so important in the church that I think can really unify all of the one another commands. If you do any of those things, you are working to unify the body. And I think that we can all, even though I feel that there is a lot of unity here, of course, there's always more that we could do. So I would challenge you and myself to think of some way to be an encouragement to someone else, whether that's thanking them for a way that they've served, or encouraging them, or however you think will unify the body even more, because every person has a function, and if you are encouraging that function, or you are doing part of that function, you are unifying the body even more. So, encouragement for that. That's easy to forget. All right, unity in light of eternity. That is what I titled this devotional. Before creation, from eternity past, God dwelled in perfect unity with himself. And then when he created humans, Adam and Eve, he brought them into perfect community with himself. So I think it's pretty clear that we were designed for community and unity. But because of sin, we will not experience total perfect unity here. But as we seek to grow in unity for all the reasons we've talked about, so that people can know about Jesus, so that we can build up the body for those reasons. While we do that, we can know that we're preparing to experience perfect unity with the church when we are united with our Redeemer in heaven. His sacrifice on the cross is what binds us together in the first place. Ephesians 2 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." That verse is about the Gentiles and the Jews being one, and that dividing wall of hostility being broken down. That can apply to anything that we could divide ourselves about. There is nothing that should divide true believers, parts of the church. And it is because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason that we feel unity during the Lord's Supper. He is the reason that we can grow in unity with one another. In conclusion, here at the very end, we are waiting for our Savior to come back for us. And while we wait this short time, we are to seek unity among the church. So pray that the Lord, through the Spirit, will help you to function as He intended. And I just pray that this will be an encouragement to us to look for those ways that we can continue serving or using our spiritual gifts, encouraging and loving one another, because we are all one in Christ. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for, first of all, for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die for us and to make it possible for us to be unified with one another because we've been unified with you and the Father. And we just thank you for the way that that works. And we just thank you for that sacrifice. And I just pray that as we, as Shannon Hills, as part of the larger church, that we will do our functions as a church, not out of duty or out of anything negative at all, but just out of excitement and being led by the Spirit. We just pray that you will show us how you want us to function, how we can encourage one another and love one another. And I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the Universal Church. And I just thank you for working through people that are sinners and do not naturally get along or have the same desires, but you are teaching us to love each other and to be unified in our love for you. So I pray that for us, that will continue. And I just pray that we'll be encouraged and that we'll be reminded of this as we go about our week. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.